The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Born in New York in 1943 to an Austrian father and an Irish mother, Martin von Hildebrand has dedicated his life to the Amazon in a battle to conserve and protect the region and its indigenous communities. On Friday night, this octogenarian was the recipient of one of the prestigious annual alumni awards from his alma mater UCD, where he had studied sociology in the 1960s. He joins me now in studio to tell me a story that spans a life from Dublin to the Andes. Martin, good morning and welcome.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Now, I think your name should give us a clue as to your origin. An Austrian father, but a Sligo mother.
That's right. That's right. And my, I'm a Sligo mother and very influenced by my Irish side.
What is it about her that influenced the course of your life?
Well, it's Ireland and her, because her father was a judge, I believe, a judge for the Sinn Féin line, and the struggle of the Irish for their land against colonialism. That influenced me a lot. That had an enormous impact on me. To fight for your land, for your culture.
You were born in the United States.
Yes.
But then went to South America.
That's right.
How did you therefore end up in University College Dublin?
My mother. I finished school. I went to the French school in Colombia. And when we finished school, my parents came back after 12 years in Colombia, or 13 years. They came back to Europe. And I came back a year after them. And I came to Dublin. The family, I have a lot of cousins. It's sort of my second home.
What did you learn in UCD that ultimately influenced the course of your life?
Well, it wasn't so much UCD, or if it was UCD, it was here in Stephen's Green. And so UCD was also the pub across the street, and UCD was the park, and UCD was that what UCD was. So we spent a lot of time in the park, in the pubs, and in class. And it was the spirit, I would say, just to give an idea of the Clancy Brothers and their music. And this idea, as I say, we had the Troubles. It was the time of the Troubles in the North. And this anti-colonialism and the spirit is what really got into me.
You decided that you wanted to kayak up the Amazon.
Yes.
Now, normal students in those days, even the heady days of 1968, would not have thought of doing that.
Well, yes, when I was a kid in Colombia, I met indigenous communities and I was interested in other cultures. I was interested in their way of being. And I guess it did venture. I guess it was also interested. I studied sociology and archaeology. I was interested in anthropology. And I decided to cross the Amazon for 6 months on my own in a small canoe. And I did it. And halfway through, I came across a place where the indigenous people were being exploited by the rubber barons. And their children would be taken by force to schools and to be taught not to be Indians. And that shocked me. And so I decided to come back for 2 years. And 2 years became 50. And I moved along, things happened. But the first thing I told them is that we have to get they had no rights at all. They were slaves, basically. They had no rights. And I said, the first thing we have to do is get a piece of paper saying the land belongs to you. And they said, what do you mean? The land doesn't belong to us. It belongs to the birds. It belongs to the trees. We belong to the land. And I insisted. So they said, we'll hold rituals, which they did quite often, and we'll consult the spirits. And they asked the spirits, and the spirits said, the land belongs to the spirits. But since Martin's white and he says, you need a piece of paper, send Martin to go and get the piece of paper. And I decided then that to go for the whole land. That is for the whole territory of the indigenous people, which is 20 million hectares, which is about the size of Great Britain. Great Britain is 22 million hectares.
Ultimately succeeded in getting ownership rights to the indigenous people, but they didn't want necessarily to own the land. They wanted to feel free to use the land.
Exactly. They wanted the space. They wanted to stop the encroachment of the outside world, stop the colonialism, that they would have a place to be themselves and to decide which way they want to relate to the outside world on their terms. And so it was three things that we said, that was the beginning of the 70s, three ideas or three purposes. One was the land. The second, the laws that they would recognize, fully recognize their culture and the third was self-government, their own government, intercultural government, because of course they had a traditional government. I mean, all people have a culture of a government. But how to relate with the outside world on their terms? How could they pull that together?
Now, you mentioned the challenge of the rubber barons. What other challenges face the indigenous people?
Well, the basic challenge, and I want to go back to the rubber barons just to make a comment there, because it's interesting in the case of Ireland particularly, because Roger Casement was the one that went there in 1912, and actually when he's there, in his notebooks, he says, it was living or being with the indigenous people that I realized that the Irish were the indigenous people or the Indians of Europe. No? And he denounced this slavery here, and then the British pulled out, and it made a big difference. And he says in his notes, it took an Irishman to come and recognize the rights or to denounce slavery, and take another Irishman to come back and make these rights recognized. And it so happened that I'm that person, and we gave them all their land. And so it's a nice story how it's been both cases, an Irish person that has made the difference, and.
So those other challenges, besides the rubber barons, about the drugs barons in recent years? And also, are there logging problems and oil exploration problems?
Exactly. So we do have, obviously, we have all these threats. Now, the place where I am working, where I am with indigenous people, has only really the threat of drugs and of guerrilla. It's very far in the forest, so the expansion of colonialism, of deforestation, has not got that far, fortunately. And this is over 50% of the Colombian Amazon. But what I would say where the fundamental problem is that the indigenous people say that they or believe that they are nature and they are part of nature, and nature is one big community, I'd even say a communion of subjects. Everything is interrelated. Whereas we, as the Western world, we say it's a collection of objects and we exploit them. That is the fundamental difference. If we exploit them, logging, mining, oil, whatever it is, our attitude is that we use the nature for our development and our well-being. Whereas indigenous people say, we are part of it and we live together.
So there's a balance between nature and humankind.
Exactly.
Now, one of the problems with the so-called ownership of the land for the indigenous people, they own effectively what they can see, what's above ground, but the government retains ownership of what lies below.
That's right. That's right. And that is a problem. And we had that problem when they were going to do mining there, and some Canadian company wanted to do mining in a very sacred place. And the indigenous people said, we can't stop them. They're going to come in one way or another, either with drugs or with weapons, but they're going to. We won't win this battle. So they said, and where is the problem? And they said, the problem is exactly what you said. The problem is that they have separated the land from the subsoil. So we have to go to the government and say, how can we handle this? And the only way to protect this is if we create a national park. Because once you get a national park, you protect the subsoil. So they told the government, we want you to create a national park over our whole territory. It was over 1 million hectares. But we want to run it on our terms, sacred sites, rituals, etc. So the government said, fair enough, we'll go for that. But you have to write up a manual, a document, explaining how you're going to, because we cannot control, we cannot follow. If you're taking care of this through rituals, you have to put it in such a way that we can follow. And the indigenous people said, okay, it'll take us 5 years because we have to teach all, since there's something new in this, we have to teach the young people. And they did it. And now the whole area is protected. And what's very special is that they have their rituals, they have their tradition, they have their cultures in place, and they have the land secured and the subsoil secured forever.
Now, the Amazon is regarded as the lungs of the world, and it's not just in Colombia. I mean, it extends right across South America. So what about the other countries? Are they on board with your philosophy?
Yes. That is, Brazil is on board. We're a bit different. That is, Colombia recognized the full rights of indigenous people of the land. The Brazilians have recognized a lot of territory for the indigenous people, but they said the land belongs to the union or to the state, but the Indians have exclusive and permanent right over the land. There's a certain difference when it comes to laws of how large the land will be, etc. But the Brazilians have come a long way. Peru, not so far, but they've done something. Ecuador, yes. So all of them have come on board, but it's really Colombia and Brazil the ones that have done.
The people in the West are saying, you know, we need to preserve the Amazon. Yeah. And then there are people who live in the area, you know, some of the colonial-minded people who say, hang on, why should we slow our own development when Europe, for example, has exploited all the resources that they have and more? Why can't we do the same?
That is true, and that is complicated. And, of course, one thing is what I think, my attitude towards this is, look, we're in a crisis. And it's not a question, do we have a right to exploit or not? The question is that we have to save the planet. No, it's a bit, perhaps I'll give an extreme example. So in certain places of the world, they've killed lots of people, so why can't we kill a few too? It's not, why can't we damage the planet because you've damaged the planet? It's not really an argument. We all have to make an effort. Where they're right is to say, okay, we'll preserve the forest, but we would like you to give a hand and support us either financially or technically. That is a kind of attitude I think is constructive.
Are you pessimistic about the future of the planet?
I'm neither optimistic nor pessimistic. I believe that we just have to give a good fight and do our best to preserve the forest. I don't know what the results will be for the planet, but I think we have to make the effort and carry out the struggle.
Well, when you started kayaking up the Amazon all those years ago and it formed your life's work, you can say to yourself, I suspect, at least I've done a good job.
Yes. I find that life thinks me. I find that life has carried me through. I cannot say I planned everything. I moved along, and as it went, the doors opened and the situations opened, and I just walked through those doors and I got things done. I can say I've been very fortunate. And right now, coming to your question, there is an organization called the Amazon Organization Treaty, which is an organization that runs the 8 countries from a corporation and protecting the rainforest. And they have asked me, the 28th of this month in Colombia, there's a meeting of all the ministers of the 8 countries, and I am being appointed the general secretary of that organization. And I had stopped, actually, when I became 80. I said, okay, now I'm going to take it easy. I wrote a book, I published, and suddenly they phoned me up and said, Martin, will you take on this? And I said, yes. I mean, one has to. One has to. We're up against a crisis, and I think we just have to go out and do our best and try to protect the rainforest and the planet. You know?
Dr. Martin van Hildebrand, thank you very much for joining us on the program today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.